grab the mic and start talking, that folk would find their places. Amen? Amen. You take your offering back there to the plate back there. Do that first. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for this day, and God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this church, and we thank you for the pastor, God. We ask your blessings continually upon him and upon this wonderful church. We thank you, God, for the music that we've heard, all the testimonies, and all of those wonderful things that you're doing. We ask now that you would be with me, oh God, the preacher. Allow your word to come clearly and concisely through me, God, that I might speak words, oh God, that would cause us to be moved from where we are to do what you would call us to do. I ask, God, that you bless individually and collectively. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable unto thee, for it is in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Certainly, we bring you greetings from Zion Prospect Baptist Church right down the street. I went by this morning, and they were surprised that I would be there. Pastor, I thought you was going to be at Vineyard. I said, I am. I'm going to be there. We have prayers. We have morning prayer before service every Sunday morning from 8:45 until normally lasts about 45 minutes. And then, I told my wife I was going. She said, I thought you were going to Vineyard. I said, I am. But she thought I needed to have prayer this morning. So I'm just thankful for that. And thank you for the prayers that you have prayed for us. And we thank you for your continual prayers that you pray for the churches of Yorktown. And I know the Zion Prospect is one. Let me say something about my friend and co-worker, Pastor Don Freeman. My wife was asking me, how long have you known Don? I said, for a long time. He and I have been in the York County. In fact, we started together. We first met him in the York County ministers when they were trying to do something for housing here in York County. And from that, we decided that we would have a York County ministers group. And we've been in operation for about 17 years now. And we have not stopped meeting. When I say that, that means that sometimes it was just Don and I. And we would meet to have a meeting. and we did. And praise God, God has blessed us. And we've seen it go up, membership go up and come down. And we've done some good things in York County. So we're still meeting. And in fact, we had our fellowship up at Zion United Methodist. So that's the purpose, is to bring us together so that we can work together as churches and recognize that we're all one body of Christ. Amen. Even though we have our differences, we are still one in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I come this morning, I come with, first of all, a great deal of thanksgiving for being here this morning. Amen. I thank God for being here at the Vineyard Church. I want to commend you. I really love the setting. When I first came here and I saw all these, I said, Don, what's the tables for? He said, oh, we have coffee. And so, and then he was telling me, he said, Walter, when you come up, he says, you know, we do the singing, and then after that, we take a break and we have coffee. I said, okay, sounds good to me. If I did that at Zion Prospect, they'd be putting me out, you know. What you mean bringing coffee in the sanctuary? What you mean having tables in the sanctuary? But you know, it's amazing how we have so formalized worship. And I like this in that you can be yourselves, because we are family. I don't believe that Jesus, when he was preaching on the mountains, that he worried about, you know, whether you, what you had, who you were eating, where you were sitting, because he was sitting on the ground. And I think that we have formalized it so that it's no longer, sometimes in some cases, it's more about church than it's about Jesus. Amen. In other words, we need to be more about Christ than we are about, you know, a church. Building is a place where we meet. Church is who we are as we come and assemble ourselves. I'm not going to be long this morning. I'm learning. One thing we have learned at Zion Prospect is that we have the young folk. I see some young men here this morning. I commend you for being here. yeah, you and I, we're young folk, right? When we're measured against eternity, we are really young. Amen. But one of the things I've learned is with social media and, you know, all of the instant stuff, folk like to get in and get out. You know, they don't want to be here for a long time. You know, I remember, you know, days you'd spend the whole day in church almost. But nowadays, you know, you spend but an hour and a half. If you don't finish up, they'll leave you there. And you'll be there by yourself, talking to yourself, you know. So I don't want to do that this morning. Amen. I want you to say, wait a minute, is he finished already? He said, yep, he's finished already. I want to speak this morning from, and you know what, this is all right, anyway. I want to speak from Romans, the 12th chapter, a very familiar chapter, verse. And I want to preach, speak from Romans 12. First of all, let me introduce my wife. My wife is the one right here with her hands waving right there. And one of our members, our sister Pat Gross, who's a wonderful, she's our Christian ed leader there and does a wonderful job. Anyway, our scripture this morning is, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. I want to talk just briefly this morning about your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. The first thing, as we read here in the scripture, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And I wonder why Paul wrote a living sacrifice. Because there is a difference between a living and a dead sacrifice. We realize that a dead sacrifice can only do so much, but a living sacrifice, and we are to be living sacrifices for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A living sacrifice is, I believe, one that allow God to use them for his work. Amen. We work while it's yet day. The Bible says we ought to work while it's still day, because night cometh when no man will work. So we need to work while we are living. And we ought to work for the good of humanity, and that we ought to work that God might get the glory. And oh, by the way, that we might build up the body of believers. We are called to live in a life that will draw other people. Jesus said in his word, if I be lifted up, that he would do what? Draw all humanity unto him. And the only way he can do that is through people like us that are witnesses to who God is and what God has done in our lives. I think all of us in here this morning have a testimony. Amen. We can all tell something that God has done in our lives. How good God has been to us, how God has brought us through dangers, seen and unseen, how God has blessed us in so many ways. So, and those are the testimonies, and a living sacrifice can only testify to what God has done in your life. And then he goes on and he says, as a living sacrifice, I beseech you, brothers, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy, meaning that we have been set apart for the work of God. Amen. People don't like for you to call them holy. You know, don't be calling me holy. Well, if you're living for God and you're living a life that reflects God, that means you're a holy person. Amen. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. Bible says, Jesus said, be ye holy as I am holy. That means that we are holy, vessels, and we ought to, you know, live their lives as a holy sacrifice unto God. And then he says, not only that, then he says, an acceptable to God, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So when we do that and said, you know, we want to be acceptable. When you talk about being acceptable, you want to do that which is pleasing to God. You want to do that which is edifying to the body of believers. In other words, it helps us to know that we are God's children, but not only that, it helps us to know that we are our brother's keepers, amen, that we can do things that help one another. And verse 2, it says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when I look at that, I heard us talking this morning that when we look at things going on today in our society, we need to look and say, do I want to be a part of that, or do I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind? I want to do things that are pleased God, and that calls for a change in our mind. The Bible says, as a person think, so will they be. Amen? So if we think that we are what we do sometimes, we'll be just that. But our challenge, the challenge I said to you today, is that we ought to see ourselves as God's children. We ought to see ourselves as ambassadors, emissaries, vessels, conduits, all of those things for one purpose, and that is to carry forth the word of God and to glorify God. And the only way you can do that is transformation. And it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. And the reason, you know, wonder why he said mind. Well, everything starts with the mind, you know. We think, as we think, so will we be. As we think, so will we do. As we think, so will we act. So it calls for a renewing of the mind. And do you not know it's hard to renew the mind? Because folk don't like to change. Am I right about that? We get into our comfort zones, and we kind of like to stay right there. Ain't never done that before. We're not going to do it now. I like the way it is. In fact, I like where my bed is in my room. Don't move it. You know, I like my furniture where it is. Don't move it. Amen. Come in my house and move my furniture, and I'll be upset for the next year because you moved a piece of furniture. But the issue is, it's all about what's in your mind. And the same thing happens when we begin to talk about us as Christians and us as disciples of Christ. We must have a mind that is being transformed by the word of God. And as God speaks to us in our mind, there is a change in our being. How do I know that you've changed? How do I know that your mind has been changed? Well, then I see a change in your behavior. I see a change in your talk. See a change in how you relate to one another. And the way we relate to one another speaks to how God is in our lives. For God says, he came that he gave his only begotten son that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for us. Am I right about that? And he did it because he did what? He loved us. He said, I love you. And if I love you, you ought to do what? Love one another. By this will they know ye are my disciples, and you do what? By that you love one another. Amen. Amen. For we are the body of Christ, and we have gifts, oh my goodness, according to the grace that God has given us. And as we have these gifts, we are to use them for the glory of God. Talking about this reasonable service. When I hear you all singing this morning, I smile to myself and I said, listen at that. I said, that's a gift that God has given us. And as we use the gifts for the glory of God, then we be about kingdom dwellers and kingdom builders for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if we have the gift of prophecy, we ought to prophesy. If we have the gift of giving, then we ought to give. If you have the gift of teaching, then we ought to teach. If we have the gift of encouraging, then we ought to encourage. And I want to spend just a couple of minutes on that. You know, within the household of faith, we need to encourage one another. Amen. We need to wrap our arms, because when we leave this kind of setting like this, guess what? We go back out into a world that is always finding some way to tell you that you're not all that you think you are. Amen. It tells you need to change this, you need to do that, or you need not to do that. But we need to encourage one another. You know, when you encourage somebody, it gives off an endorphin. And what that means is that when I encourage somebody, you know what it does? It makes the other people watching feel good. Amen? I'm going to give you an exercise right now. Tell your face to smile. That's all right. That's all right. But I'm just saying. So, you know, I mean, sometimes we have to be encouraged to just give a smile. And when you do that, just by saying that, it makes you feel better. And automatically a smile comes just because I said smile. Because I encourage myself. And so we need to encourage the church once in a while to smile. Even though we go through, you know, challenges, and even though we're going through hard times, we still can be rejoicing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. Amen. It's tough, but we still need to rejoice in it. I always tell people, don't major on the negative. You know, we spend a lot of times talking about what could have been and what didn't happen, but we ought to major on what God has already done for us. When you begin to look at what God has done for you and what God is doing in your life, it always outweighs what you are going through. Amen? And when you look back over your life, that's where, you know, your joy comes from, when I think about what God has done for me. When I begin to think about where God brought me from, when I think about what he brought me through, and when I think about how he has brought me through where I am today, I have joy. Amen? And joy causes me to rejoice in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing like seeing folk that's in the church that ain't happy. Amen? We ought to be in here rejoicing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because as we think about who God is in our lives, because we know that God walks with us, he talks with us, and he tells us that we are own. He tells us, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He tells you that I will make a way out of no way for you. And if I'm truth about it, somebody in here has a testimony that God has made a way out of no way for me. God has picked me up out of the stuff that I've been through, and God has done that. And so I have to have that kind of mindset to believe that God can do that. And when I do that, then I can give God the acceptable service that will cause things to change, not only in my life, but it changed in others' lives. Oftentimes, we spend a lot of time trying to change other folk. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, you ain't going to change nobody else. The only somebody you can change, somebody that says amen. I've been married to my wife for a long time. Uh-oh. Amen. You know, and I've been trying to change her. And she ain't going to change until she wants to change. Am I right about it? I was just using an example. But what I'm saying, and sometimes in the church, we want to see our acceptable service change in folk. God does the changing. Amen. Our acceptable service is getting them there so God can dress them up. Amen. Oftentimes we want to bring folk in and we say, I don't know why they are like they are. That's because that's how they are. And all we can do is live with them and allow God to work on the inside. And as God works on the inside, there is a change that becomes evident on the outside. Some years ago, I was in the church and we had a person come in, and the person, you know, and I mean, at that time in our church, in Baptist church, you know, we had deacon's row, and I was sitting on the deacon's row at that time, and this guy came in, and not only was he not dressed right, he didn't smell right. He'd been out all night long. You know, he'd come in and smelling like, you know what, you know. And anyway, and he sat on the front row right next to me, you know. And I said, now, you know what, I can't have this. You know, I can't have it. He's got to move from here. And the Spirit of the Lord said, no, you sit there and allow him to sit there. And as a result of me allowing him to, and you know what, I had to change my mind. Because normally my mind would have said, sir, would you please move out? I'd have called the usher and said, come get him and move him to the back somewhere. But I had to change, my mind had to be transformed, because I realized that it was more important for him to hear the word and for me to be a good steward, allow him to feel comfortable where he was. Well, anyway, my story is this. After a while, the pastor preached. He heard the message. Next Sunday, he showed up. Sure enough, came back the next Sunday smelling. Sit on the same row next to me, and I'm sitting there dressed, you know, dressed to the hilt, so to speak. Anyway, and he sat there, and eventually, you know, he began to hear the word. He started coming back and came to our Sunday school and all of that. And before I knew it, not only did he start changing on the inside, but the outside, he began to change. His whole lifestyle began to change. His clothes on the outside. In other words, when God gets on the inside, God can clean you up on the outside. And we spend a lot of time trying to clean folk up on the outside. You know, it's like catch the fish. You know, you want to clean the fish before you catch them? It doesn't work, does it? You got to clean the fish after you catch them, right? And God does the cleaning on the inside. And as a result of cleaning on the inside, there is a change on the outside. And so what I'm saying here this morning is that our reasonable service is that we need to be used as ambassadors, that we need to be used as emissaries, that need to be used as conduits, that we are carrying the word forth from here. The church is more than just meeting on... maybe I'm getting in trouble here. But oftentimes, church is more than just meeting on the inside. This is a place where we meet so that you might hear the word and might go outside of the walls and begin to tell others about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to tell it in such a way that it will compel... Scripture says we need to compel the unsaved to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord. So again, we go back to it. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Why? And I want it, how do I want it? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I would say to you here this morning that our reasonable, not only Vineyard's reasonable service, my reasonable service, your reasonable service, is that we present our bodies in times like these. We've got to begin to look at what it is that God is calling the church to do. How do we speak to the conditions and things that are going on in our society? Church, what does the church have to say? Amen. And so we have to begin to use what God has given us and allow his word to speak through us. And I can assure you that God will change the situation, and he will change even the hardest heart person Paul, did he change you? He changed Paul's life, didn't he? Paul was on his way to do what? Persecute Christians. But on his way in Damascus, he had an encounter with God. And God changed him from what he was to what he became. And he became one of the greatest preachers that we have in the scripture today. And so as we allow God to use us, God can use every one of us. How many in here want to be being used by God today? Consider yourself being used by God. If you would, raise your hand. All right. So then if we are being used by God, then we've got to present our bodies as what? As a living sacrifice. And what is it? It's our reasonable, it's not unreasonable, it's our reasonable service. Because God gave his only begotten Son so that we might have this opportunity to do for God what he asked us to do. Again, I challenge you this morning to do your reasonable service, that God might get the glory and that the kingdom might be empowered to do greater works as we go through our lifestyle today. God, I thank you now for this time that you've allowed me to stand in this sacred place to proclaim your word to these thy people. I pray, God, that we would realize that you want us to be a living sacrifice and that we would present our bodies, oh God, which is holy and acceptable unto you, which is a reasonable service. But not only that, God, I pray that you help us that we might not be conformed to this world, but that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I ask, God, that you would just allow your anointing, that you would allow your favor to fall upon each one that's under the sound of my voice. Bless them and take care of them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And the people of God say, amen. God bless you.
That's a good word this morning for us. And you know, I love words. And for me, that word reasonable. And then when Paul says about the mind, reasonable has to do with thinking as well. We reason through it. And we say, you know what? It's really not so bad. Yeah, sure, we could be like Paul and wind up being arrested and being thrown in jail and beaten and then having to sacrifice more than just handing out water or talking to people about Jesus. It can actually cost us something. And a sacrifice means it's a cost. And elsewhere, Paul says that we have to count the cost of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We really have to think this through, that if we're serious, he says, if you love me, you will obey me. We have to reason that through. We have to think about it. We have to say we're going to become, we're metamorphosized, we're transformed from caterpillar butterfly to butterfly or moth, from tadpole to frog. We're transformed from a dead person without the Spirit of God into a living person, hopefully filled by the Spirit. And because we're those vessels that he talked about, we're broken and leaky, and we need to be filled more and more. This morning we're going to come, as we always do on the last Sunday of the month, we come to celebrate communion. And it doesn't have to be a somber time. It doesn't have to be, you know, this very sad and down kind of time. But yeah, it can be a celebration where we come and we spend time with Jesus. And we symbolically come and we take the bread, which represents his body. And we take, in this case we use juice, we take the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. And we sit down like they did on that night prior to his arrest, prior to the trial and the beating and the scourging and the crucifixion, the death, the the burial, the resurrection. And we come and we remember that stuff. We remember that night. And I like to picture myself as being like John. I'd love to be more like John. I think I relate more to Peter because I, you know, I have that hoof and mouth syndrome. But I want to be more, a little bit more like John, in that John, it says he leaned back because they would recline. They sat down on the floor, maybe with cushions, and they leaned as they ate their meal. And it said that John put his head to the chest of Jesus, and I can just imagine him hearing the heartbeat. So I'd like to be more like that as we come. It's an intimate time to be with Jesus and to be happy about it, not to be somber and sad because we've sinned. He knows we've sinned. He knows everything. He knows, you know, how... If I knew about you, I wouldn't hang out with you. I'd say you're dirty and rotten and nasty and terrible, but you already know that about me. You're like, yeah, you are a sinner. So to break the bread, and then how we do it here, just so you know, we afterward, Horace will put on some music, and then as you feel led to just file down the center, come and take a napkin and a piece of bread, we dip it, and then take, and then go back to our seat. So, Father, we do thank you for this time. Jesus, we remember you. We remember you on that night that you were betrayed by Judas. And how many times we betray you. How many times do we come and we just say, I don't know him. We're kind of like Peter in that way. We don't know him. We're embarrassed or maybe ashamed or something. We don't need to be ashamed. We need to be more like Paul in that regard. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we come to you this morning confessing our weakness, confessing that we maybe haven't been a living sacrifice. We haven't thought it through. We come this morning to commune with you, to sit with you, to eat with you, to join with those around the world who may also have been celebrating this breaking of bread. And you want all your children to come and to break this bread and to eat and to drink and to sup with you. The Word of God says that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he passed it amongst his disciples. And he said, take and eat, because this is my body, which is broken for you. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he passed it to the disciples. He said, take and drink of this cup. For it is my blood that has been poured out for you, for the remission of sin, to cover over your sin. He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So as we get ready to go out today, be sure to say hello once again to our visitors and thank them for coming. Thank Pastor Johnson for coming and giving the word. And that's one of my favorite verses, those two verses. Man, I love Paul so much. Just the word that he gave, the stuff that he taught about. And you've heard this before, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thinking, and I always use this acronym, whatever is true, whatever is helpful, whatever is inspirational, whatever is necessary, and whatever is kind. Think about those things, because Jesus is the truth. Jesus taught his disciples to be helpful. Jesus is inspirational. Jesus only did those things that were necessary. And he is the king of kindness. And so we need to think about those things. And, you know, I think a lot of negativity sometimes as the day goes on, and beat myself up. And I think we all go through that sometimes. So as we leave this morning, think the right stuff. Think the right stuff. Think the way the Father thinks about you. So God bless you all. Have a great day. I love this weather as it's beginning to cool down. Yeah. Enjoy your week, and hopefully we'll see you back next week. And Andre and Tina Jenkins will be here once again to speak. And I really look forward to them coming as well. They're a dear brother and sister who love God and love life and love people. So go out in the name of the Lord. Shalom, my friends.